What's up? Good morning. Let's begin. Okay, a lot to do today. So we left off, but it's okay because we left off already into Kuf Amud Aleph. So today's daf is Kuf 100. We are picking up four lines down. Elisha, my time up. My time alone. So the Gemara asks, why is it that you cannot go ahead and give Truma to the Isha in the Beis HaGranos in the greenery? So the Gemara says, please, Rav Papa, Rav Hunabri, Rav Yoshua. So Rav Papa and Rav Hunabri, Rav Yoshua argued about this. Chad Amar once said, Mishum Grusha. Out of a concern about that, if you get used to giving the woman Truma, what's going to happen? Even when she gets divorced from the Kohen, she may still show up at the granary to go ahead and claim Truma. And because you're so used to going out and giving it to her, you'll give it to her anyway. Now, of course, again, once a woman is divorced from a Kohen, assuming that she herself is not a Bas Kohen, and doesn't have children, so she's no longer entitled to Truma. Therefore, again, the halacha is that we don't give a woman Truma without her husband present, because Lamais, again, this way, if her husband's not present, we'll realize that something is up. The Chadam, the other opinion, said, no, Mishum Yichud, because they're both saying, where are granaries often located? Granaries are often located, you know, somewhere out, not in the middle of the city, and as such, there's a Yichud, a seclusion issue. My Benai, what's practical difference in these two opinions? Ika Benai, who Bei Dari Demikrav Lemasa, Velo Shchichi Bohu Inshi. So we're both saying one nafkamina is, if you have a granary that's close to the city, now if it's close to the city, it means that he'll get all the news from the city, which means what? Which means that Lamaisa, again, he'll hear, if she gets divorced, he'll hear that she gets divorced. However, Velo Shchichi Bohu Inshi, but people don't frequent the granary, which means that there would still be a yichud problem. Inami, the other nafkamina would be the merchak, where the granary is far away. Ushchichi ba inshi. So we'll say if it's far away, that means again he will not necessarily get news from the city that she was divorced. But shchichi ba inshi, there are a lot of people around there. Namely, what? There's no yichud issue. Bechulan mishagrin lahem labateyan chutz mitame venose isha sheinal genaslo. But I will say, so all these people listed in the brayse that we read yesterday, we don't have them show up to the granary to collect their truma, but we do home delivery. We go ahead and we send the truma to their home, with the exception of Tameh, because the person who's Tameh can't eat truma. And also, or a man, a Kohen who married a woman whom he is not permitted to marry. So both of those individuals are absolutely and totally precluded from eating truma altogether. So the Gemara says, my taima, why is that? My taima, mishum da'anis. So we'll say, the Gemara says, for example, if you look at my taima, no, I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, aval orel, I skipped the line. Aval orel, mishagrinle. But what do you see from here? That the orel, you do go ahead and send him truma to his home. So the Gemara says, my taima, what's the reason why we send the orel truma to his home? Mishum da'anis. Because we'll say, the orel isn't honest. Remember, we spoke about this yesterday. What's the case of the orel? The case of the orel is where Mesu Achav Machmas Mila. It's a situation where his brothers died as a result of Bris Mila. Therefore, they can't give him a Bris. Because they can't give him a Bris, ultimately, again, he's an Ones, extenuating circumstances, to which the Gemara says, therefore, again, because of that, we don't penalize him and prevent him from eating Truma. We just don't let him show up to the granary, but we send it to his house. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Tamei Nami Ones. But a person who becomes Tamei is also an Ones, right? Again, people don't usually become Tameh willingly or voluntarily. Usually something happens that ultimately they become Tameh, to which the Gemara says, Hai nafish onse, vahai lo nafish onse. This guy is really an Ones, and this guy is not such a big Ones. What does it mean about saying that a person who becomes Tameh, so technically speaking, a person could have taken certain preventative measures, depending on what the circumstances are, but you can make the argument that under certain circumstances, a person could have taken certain preventative measures from preventing himself from becoming Tameh. On the other hand, the Arel, in this particular case, cannot do anything about being an Arel. The halacha demands that he remain an Arel because his brothers died as a result of Bris Mila. Therefore, again, we do not penalize him from having the Truma. We just don't let him show up at the granary, but we send it to his house. Tana Rabbanan. Ha'eved v'ha'isha in cholkin lohem truma b'beis ha'granos. So we'll say, we learned in a braisa that ha'eved and ha'isha, we do not go ahead and separate for them truma in the granary. U'b'makom she'cholkin nostin l'isha t'chila u'pochin osa miyad. But where they do give truma to a woman, we give her first and we send her home immediately. So Mars is my comer. We'll say, no, we just contradicted ourselves. You just said a second ago that we do not go ahead and give a woman a portion of truma from the granary, which, by the way, is in line with the brisa that we learned in yesterday's daf. And then you just got finished saying, but if you give a woman truma, you should give her first and allow her to go home. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar." This is what it means to say, "B'makum shecholkin meiser ani." So the Gemara says, "No, no, no." The brisa is actually not referring to truma. The brisa is referring to meiser ani. In a place of, I'll say, where they give meiser ani. Remember again, meiser ani is the tithe for the poor. Obviously, both men and women are entitled to that tithe. So if a woman comes to receive a portion of meiser ani, no stin leisha tchila. We give a woman Maaser Ani first. My time, what's the reason? Mishum Zilusa. Because it's degrading for a woman to have to stand in line for a time together with a bunch of other men. So therefore, again, we give her her portion first. We let her cut the line. We give her a portion first and allow her to go home. Amar Rava. Also, the other idea, Mishum Zilusa. So that Rashi brings down over there that idea. Rashi, that you will see in Amud Beis, of this Mishum Zilusa brings down this idea of waiting in line. There's also another idea which you find expressed very often in Hilchos Tzedakah, is the idea that it's much more degrading for a woman to have to ask for things than it is for a man. Again, so Rashi points out the idea that she's going to be sitting there in the granary with a bunch of men. Bring her to the front of the line, give her what she wants, give her what she needs, and ultimately, again, send her home. But again, just pointing out that there's a sensitivity in Hilchos Tzedakah in general to a woman having to ask for tzedakah. So because that appears, we take care of her needs first and then send her home. Amar Rava, listen to this. Rava said, Mireisha, ki havo asu gavre ve'isis aladina kamai, havo sharina tigra de gavre bereisha. Rava said, initially, when I would have a man and woman, two different cases, come before me for litigation, right, to decide on the dispute, I would normally take the man's case first. Why? Amino de mechayi b'mitzvos. Because I figured since a man has more mitzvos, so perhaps he possesses greater kiddusha, therefore, again, I should take his case first. Kevan de shaman alaha, sharina tigra, de as de isis sabereisha. But now that I heard this ruling, I always go ahead and adjudicate the woman's case first. My taima, what's the reason? Mishum zilusa. In order to go ahead and spare the woman any unnecessary embarrassment or degradation, I go ahead and always adjudicate the woman's case first. Higdilu ataruvos. So also remember from yesterday's Mishnah, this was the case of the woman, the wife of the Kohen, and her Shivcha, who give birth to babies at the same time, and the babies are mixed up. We're not sure whose baby is who. So the Mishnah said that when the two boys reach the age of adulthood, they're meshachrer, they emancipate each other, right? They emancipate each other because we're not sure who's the Eved, who's the Kohen. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Shichreru iboy in ilo boy lo. Va'amai. So we'll say, so when it says Shichreru, it makes it sound like if they want to emancipate each other, they can. But it sounds like they have a choice. Or if they don't want to, they don't have to. So the Gemara says, Va'amai. But how could that be? There must be that we force them to emancipate each other. After all, Lisa Shivcha in a yachol. Because what's remember, if they don't do this process of what we'll call, you know, mutual emancipation, then at the end of the day they're going to be stuck because neither of them are permitted to marry. They can't marry a shivcha because they might be a kohen. They can't marry a Yisraelis because they might be an eved. Therefore, Amarava Ima, Kofin Oson, Oson Mashachar and Zeza. Therefore, obviously, we have to read it differently. Rather, we force them to go ahead and be Mashachar, to go ahead and emancipate one another. Nos Nalein Chumre. So, I remember again, then the Mishnah said that we give them the Chumrim, the Chumros, ultimately, again, the stringencies of Kohanim and Yisrael. And this is going same case of the babies of the Shivchan, the Kohanes, from yesterday's daf, Shivchan, Kohanes, that got mixed up. So what does it mean we put upon them the chumras of both Kohanim and Yisraelim? The Mai Hilchasa, Amar Papa, this is interesting. Lemin Chasam Nikmet, Lemin Chasam. It means if they offer up a carbon mincha, we put on that mincha the chumras of Kohanim and Yisraelim. What does that mean? Nikmetes keminchas Yisrael. So on one hand, if this person brings a carbon mincha, we do a kamitza. So let's remember, kamitza is where the Kohen takes his three middle fingers and goes ahead and dips it or plunges it into the flour and scoops up the flour, the amount of flour that he could get within his three fingers, shaves off the sides with his pinky and with his thumb, and that is the amount that is burned on the altar. That is dafka unique for the mincha of Yisrael. So we'll do kamitza, just like it was a minchas Yisrael. Ve'inan ne'echeles kaminchas kohen. But Rabbi, by a minchas Yisrael, after the kohen offers up the kamitza, the rest of the mincha is consumed by the Kohanim. What happens if a Kohen brings a mincha? The entire karban is consumed, is offered on the Mizbeach itself. So on one hand, we'll do the kamitza like a minchas Yisrael, but we'll totally burn it on the Mizbeach like minchas Kohanim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So how do we do this? The Gemara says, we offer up the komitz by itself, the kamitza, and we burn the rest by itself, to which the Gemara says, how? Ikri kan, kol shimimeno li'ishin, harehu bebal taktiru. So the Gemara says, we have a principle. Kol shimen ali'ishim, anything that is consumed on the fire, harehu bebal taktiru, is subject to the prohibition to burn it. Which Rabosa is another way of saying that lamaisa, you are not permitted to burn, you are not permitted to unnecessarily burn any part of a karban. So for example, let's take a regular karban mincha. So let's say again, the Kohen does the kemitza, and then the Kohen decides, you know what, I don't want the rest of the mincha, let's just burn it. Does the Kohen have the right to do that? No, you can't burn things in the Mizbeach. They're not supposed to be burned in the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. I understand what you're trying to do, of you're trying to go ahead and straddle the fence here about how to deal with this mincha for this individual whose identity is not fully known. You kind of want to mix and match a little bit. You want to do the kamitza like a minchas Yisrael and burn the rest of it like a minchas Kohen, but you're not permitted to do that. Meaning once you go ahead and you take the kamitza, I will say, what have you done? According to the Gemara, what have you done? You've essentially rendered that mincha like a minchas Yisrael. Once it's a minchas Yisrael, then what? Then what can't you do? You can't burn the rest of it. So I don't understand how the solution is even feasible. Oh, you don't burn it for the sake of karban mincha. Rather, what do you burn it for? Fuel for the mizbeach. Meaning what Rabbi Huda is suggesting is, when do we say that the issue of baal taktiru, not to burn a sacrificial item, necessarily comes into play? When you're burning it as a sacrificial rite. But if you're not burning it as a sacrificial rite, rather you're only burning it for fuel for the mizbeach. So apparently that's a way to circumvent the prohibition of Baal Taktiru. So the Gemara says, the Masik Luhul Hashem Eitzik Rebbe Lazar, the Sanya Rebbe Lazar Omer, L'reach Nichoach Iyatamala. You can't go ahead and unnecessarily burn a part of the Karban, L'reach Nichoach, as a pleasing aroma, i.e. as part of an Avoda, Aval Atamala L'shem Eitzim. But if you want to burn something, you don't want to consume it, you can burn it for the sake of providing fuel for the altar. So the Gemara says, that's fine, Hanichal Rebbe Lazar. Okay. That works fine according to Shiz Rabbi Lazar, who holds that way. El Rabbanon, Ma'ika Lameimar. But according to the Rabbanon, what is there to say? To which the Gemara says, the Ovid law, Kerabbi Elazar, Bereb Shimon. Because according to the Rabbanon, you could conduct yourself like Rabbi Lazar, Bereb Shimon. What does Rabbi Lazar, Bereb Shimon say? The Sanya, Rabbi Lazar, Bereb Shimon, Omer, Hakomets, Karav La'atzmo, Vashirayim, Mispazrin, Al Beis Hadeshen. So I'll say, interesting, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon has a different approach. He says that in this case over here, of the mincha being offered by the individual, again, whose yichus is questionable, so we go at me, and we say, yichus is questionable, meaning we're not sure if he's Yisrael or he's a Kohen. So what do? We go ahead and we offer up the komets on the Mizbeach, and the leftover is mispazrin, is sprinkled on the Beis Hadeshen. Ultimately, is sprinkled on the ash heap. To which the Gemara says, "Va'afilu Rabbanon lo pligi alei Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, ella b'minchas chotei shel kohanim debas hakravihi." And Rabbi says, even the rabbis only argue on Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon in the case of a minchas chotei of kohanim debas hakravihi, where ultimately again it's supposed to be offered aval hacha. But over here, in this case, where the mincha was brought by the individuals of Safek Kohen, afilu Rabbanon modu, even the rabbis would agree that this approach, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, is a proper approach. So I will say, what comes out at the end of the day is that halacha l'maisa, the chumrah, so to speak, of the kohuna, is in this case of mincha. So if we're not sure about this person as a Safek Kohen, Safek Yisrael, as a result, again, of this whole case that we saw in yesterday's daf, of the mix-up at birth between the Eishes Kohen and the Shifcha. So if he offers up a mincha, we're in a little bit of a pickle. Because if he's Yisrael, so the kmitza is offered and the rest is consumed by the Kohanim. If he's a Kohen, then the entire mincha is burned on the Mizbeach. So therefore, again, what's the resolution? How do we deal with this? So we have a machlokes. According to Rebbe Lazar, we go ahead and we burn the kmitza, and we go ahead and we burn the rest of the mincha as well, but not l'shem mincha, but rather we burn it l'shem etzim. We burn it for the sake of fuel. However, again, the Rabbanon don't agree with that. So according to the Rabbanon, they would adopt the position of Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Same idea, you would burn the kmitza, and the rest of the mincha, you would just simply sprinkle on the ash heap. Okay, so everyone's going to agree that you have like this split as to how to deal with the kmitza and how to deal with the rest, but machlokis as to the actual mechanics. Says the Mishnah. I'm sorry?
Who's Rebbe Lazar, if not Rebbe Lazar?
Very often Rebbe Lazar is Rebbe Lazar ben Hyrcanus. That's usually unqualified Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Lazar ben Hyrcanus. The Mishnah. So if a woman, Rabbi Lazar, now one of the things we've established over and over is that when a woman ends a relationship, and we'll discuss exactly what type of relationship she's ending, but when a woman comes out of a relationship, be it death or divorce, she has to wait 3 months, at least 3 months before remarrying in order to know if she's pregnant or not. She's pregnant or not. So let's say a woman did not wait 3 months. She did not wait 3 months after her husband. We'll discuss exactly what happened in her first marriage. Vini says she got married. V'yalda. Now we'll say now she gives birth. V'eino yadua im ben tisha l'rishon im ben shiva l'achra. So let's say she gets married 2 months after the first relationship. The child is born 9 months after she left her first husband, and 7 months after she married her second husband. So the shaila is it a 9-month baby for the first, or is it a 7-month baby for the second? So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, "Im hayulo banim min arishon ubanim min ashes." Well, listen to this case. So let's say again, this woman also had other children. She had, let's say, children from her first husband, who were definitely from the first husband. And she had children from the second husband, who were definitely from the second husband. But there's this one kid that's in doubt. Right? There's this one like middle child who we're not sure, is he a son of the first, is he a son of the second? So of course you see where this is going to go. So the Gemara says, so what happens? Choltsin velo miyadmin. So here's the shiloh. Let's say now this Suffolk son dies. And he dies without children. So now what's the kasha? The kasha is, who are his brothers? Who are his brothers? Are his brothers the sons of husband number one? Or are his brothers the sons of husband number two? So because we don't know in this particular case, what's that halacha? Choltsin v'lo miyavmin. So everybody does chalitza and no one does yibum. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Choltsin v'lo miyavmin. Li'ishto shal safek zeh. B'nei arishon choltsin. Shema ben avihem haya v'lo miyavmin. Shema ben achron hu. V'hariu achayim min ha'em v'lo min ha'av. V'zu aleim b'karis. V'chein b'nei achron v'chein hu l'nishosim. So we'll say, both the sons of husband number one and the sons of husband number two, both do chalitza with the wife of this, we'll call him this middle son, because no one's exactly sure whose brother he is, but of course Yibum would be prohibited. V'chein hu lahem. And we'll say, same thing would be the reverse. Let's say again, the brothers die. Let's say the sons of husband number one and the sons of husband number two both die. So what does the middle son do? So again, remember, he doesn't know who his brothers are. See, he also goes at cholitz v'lo miyamim. He does chalitz with any of the wives, but does not do yibum. We'll say it's actually pretty pashut. Maybe not pashut for the family, pashut for us. So kufam days. Hayulo achem min arishon v'achem min hasheni shelo me'osa ha'ein. So we'll say, listen to this. Now let's say he has brothers from the first and brothers from the second, but not from the same mother. In other words, they both say, his mother was married, meaning, let's say like this, husband number one and husband number two have other sons with another woman other than the mother of the middle son. So we'll say, just to keep this simple. So let's say husband number one is Reuven, husband number two is Shimon, right? And let's say the wife is Rachel. So Reuven was married to Rachel, Reuven divorced her, right? But Reuven and Rachel had kids. you know, in the beginning of their marriage. And then, remember, and then Rachel marries Shimon, and Rachel and Shimon also have kids. The problem is, Rachel has one kid that's in the middle. She has one kid that was born 9 months after she left Reuven, and 7 months after she married Shimon. And that kid, we're not sure exactly who his father is. So let's say Reuven and Shimon also both had previous marriages to someone other than Rachel, and they had sons from those marriages. So both, I said, now essentially, we'll call him that middle child over there, we'll call him the middle child. So he has potential brothers, paternal brothers, but who are not maternal brothers. Remember, because again, he has additional brothers on both sides from both men with women other than his mother. But of course, he's not sure which are his brothers or which are not his brothers. So he has potential brothers from both Reuven and Shimon, but who are from a mother different than his. So what's the halacha? Hu choleitz umiyavim, v'heim echad choleitz v'echad miyavim. So we'll say, listen to this. So in that case, if one of those brothers were to die, he, or if all those brothers were to die for that matter, he would go ahead and do chalitza umiyabim. It's actually umiyabim. He does chalitza and then does yibum, or can do yibum. Look at Rashi. Hayilo achid min arishon min arachron shalomi osaim. Who ochalitza umiyabim leishas ben harishon im echavu haretov v'im lav nachresi etzlo ukigon shein ach elohu delekalis apuki bivam. So we'll say this would be a case. Let's say again, to keep it easy, there's one brother. So let me clarify this. Remember, our two husbands, Reuven and Shimon, they both were married to Rachel at different points in time. They each had sons from previous marriages as well. The middle son, we'll call him just middle son. So what happens? Reuven has a son from a previous marriage. That son dies without children. So middle son now, the Gemara says, could go ahead and do Yibum or Chalitza. He says why? He says, because remember, Rabosai, there's one of two possibilities. Either he is the brother or he's not the brother. If he is the brother, then what? Then Yibum is fine. If he's not the brother, then what? Amen. Then Lamaisa, again, Rabosai, there's no problem anyway because there's no one to do Yibum, that means. Which means, again, that this woman is permitted to marry anyone who he wants. Anyone who she wants, excuse me. V'heim, and similarly, again, if the middle son were to die, V'heim, echad cholitz v'echad miyabim. Ultimately, again, could do Yibum or Chalitza. Rashi says, V'heim, achin, echad cholitz v'echad miyabim. One does Chalitza, one does Yibum. Oh, so Bosa, in this case over here, because there's a suffix. Remember, if he, middle son, dies, then what it's saying is the sons from Reuven and Shimon from their previous marriages, one of them has to do Chalitza, and one of them has to do Yibum. Because as long as the first one does Chalitza, when the second one does Yibum, there are either one of two possibilities. Either what, Bosai? Either he's the real brother, and therefore, again, his act of taking this woman in marriage is Yibum, or he's not the real brother, in which case the marriage is permitted. Why? Because Chalitza was already done. So the Gemara says, "Haya echad Yisrael ve'echad Kohen." If one of them ultimately was Yisrael and one of them was a Kohen, no se'isha haru'uya l'kohen. So also, this is going back to the previous case. So back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where again you have middle child, husband number one was Yisrael, husband number two was a Kohen. Now again, so we were dealing with the paternity of the child is in doubt. Now in this case over here, there's a more complicated, well not more complicated, but there's an additional complication, which is the kid Yisrael or is the kid a Kohen? So what's the halacha? So again, in that case, so middle son has to go ahead and marry a woman who technically is fit for the kuhuna because he might be a kohen. Furthermore, again, he can't come in contact with the dead because he's got to conduct himself in certain respects like a kohen. But if he did become Tamei, intentionally, we would not go ahead and give him 40 lashes, as you would normally for a Kohen who intentionally becomes Tamei. However, Eino Ochel B'Trumah, he can't eat Trumah, V'im Ochel, but if he did eat Trumah, Eino Mishalim Karen V'Chomesh, he does not have to pay the principal and the additional fifth. So remember, we said that in yesterday's daf, because Amotzi Mechavir Alav Haraya, because in order to pay that money, you have to prove that indeed he stole from the Kohanim, and that burden of proof is upon the Kohen who is the extractor of the money. Ve'ino cholik ala goren, and he can't come to the greenery to collect his portion of Truma. Umocher HaTruma, but again, from his own produce, he could go off and he could sell off his portion of Truma. V'adam Shalim, he could keep the money. V'eino Cholik B'Kodshei HaKadoshim. As you said before, he does not go ahead and get a share in the hides of Karbanos. V'eino Stin Lo'as HaKadoshim. But he does not go ahead and what? He does not get to eat sacrificial parts. Vein motzin eshelo miado. But if he has sacrificial parts, we don't take it from him. Upatra min azrav alechayim v'akeva. He doesn't have to give the Kohanic gifts of the foreleg, the chest, and the stomach to the Kohen. Ubechoro yeroa ad sheyistayv. If he has a bechor behema, so he lets it graze until it develops a mum. And then it says, I will say, this is all repeat from yesterday. Ve'nosnin alav chumre Kohanim v'chumre Yisraelim. And essentially, you place upon this child, or ultimately this adult, the chumras, the stringencies of Kohanim and of Yisraelim. Hayu, Shabbosai, so again, this is the Safek case. Hayu Shneim Kohanim, listen to this. So let's say, Shabbosai, so everything we just said before is when Reuven, husband number one, was a Kohen, and husband number two, Shimon, is a Yisrael. And here his paternity is in doubt, and therefore, again, his tribal affiliation or Kohanic status is also in doubt. Let's say, however, Hayu Shneim Kohanim. Let's say they were both Kohanim, right? Reuven and Shimon were both Kohanim. So what do you do in this case? Hu Onin Aleihem. So we'll say in this case again, when either of them die, he is an Onin for both of them. Rashi says, he is an Onin for both of them. Rashi says, L'chumra, Shema Zeh Aviv, U'biyom Misaso Aser Zeh Le'echol B'kachim, Shema Anino S'chal Alav. Now we'll say, now what this means as an Onin is the following. Remember, if they're both Kohanim, one thing is for sure, which is what? What's the status of the middle child? He's a Kohen. Now, we'll say, now, what's the halacha with a Kohen when he's in Aninus? He is not permitted to eat kachim. He's not permitted to eat sacrificial items. Therefore, again, on the day that either of these men die, he is an Onin, and therefore may not consume sacrificial items. Vehaim, Onin and Alav. Similarly, again, these men, with this, if middle son were to die, these men would be Oninim for him. They'd also be prohibited from eating sacrificial items on the day that he died. Hu eino mitame lahem. So he, the middle son, cannot be mitame for either one of them. Why, Rabosai? Because again, remember, he's still not sure which one is his father. Therefore, he cannot become tame for either one of them. Vehem einon mitame lo. Similarly, again, both of the men, meaning Reuben and Shimon, cannot be mitame for this boy as well, or this man as well, because they don't know definitively if he is their son. Hu eino yoresh osam. He, the middle son, does not inherit either one of these men, because again, he can't conclusively prove whose son he is. Aval heim yorshin osam. I will say this, I'll have to explain in the Gemara. But they go ahead, meaning the two men inherit this middle son. We'll see why. Upatra amakaso va'al kilalaso shazet v'shazet. And I'll say, if middle son were to go ahead and either curse or to hit Reuven or Shimon, he would be pater. Why? Because again, Abosai, it's not now. The halacha is if you curse, you hit your father, you chayiv misa, chayiv death penalty. So again, in this case over here, you can't administer any kind of death penalty. Why? Because there's suffix. We don't know who his father is. Furthermore, it's actually interesting, we'll say, Ola b'mishmaro shalzeh, vishalzeh. So again, I will say, remember, the Kohanim are divided up into 24 mishmoros, and each mishmar goes ahead and serves a shift in the Beis HaMikdash. So whose mishmar is he a part of? So the answer is, he's part of both of the mishmoros. He's part of this mishmar of Reuven and this mishmar of Shimon, ve'eino cholik. However, again, I will say, as much as he's permitted to go ahead and serve in the mishmar, nevertheless, what? The men of the mishmar are not obligated to share with him the hides of the animals that are offered on their watch. However, ve'eino cholik im hayushneim mishmar echad, no tachilik echad. So we'll say the reason for that is because remember, as much as he can be part of each of the mishmoros, he can't force the members of the mishmar to give him some of the hides, because again, remember, they could say, prove to us definitively that you are a part of this mishmar. However, let's say Reuven and Shimon are not only both Kohanim, but what? They're both part of the same mishmar. Then in that case, again, not only does he serve with the mishmar, but what? He's also entitled to share in the hides of the animals of that mishmar. Gemara. Dafka mechlatz v'hadr yivumi, aval yivumi bereisha lo. Suppose now the Gemara makes reference to the case of where, remember, that this is the case of where both Reuven and Shimon, the two fathers, husband one and husband two, had sons from previous marriages with other women. other than the mother of middle son. So the Mishnah said, in such a case like that, remember again, if middle son dies, so the other brothers have to do first chalitza and then yibum. So the Gemara just points out that order is dafka. You have to first do chalitza and then yibum. Why? Aval yivume brishlo, but you can't just do yibum from the beginning. Why not? Because potentially, if you do yibum first, remember again, if a man who it turns out is not the brother of the deceased ends up doing yibum first, he has essentially what? Just had relations with a woman who is subject to the laws of yibum, which is prohibited by lav. But if you do chalitza first, then by definition it allows the other brother from the other side to go ahead and then come along and do yibum. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel said, Asara kohanim omdim, it says, interesting case. Let's say you have 10 kohanim who are standing together in a group. Upirish echa mehen ubal, and one kohen separated from the group had relations with a woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a baby. So the Gemara says, Havlad shtuki. The child is a shtuki. Now normally, shtuki means a child whose paternity is not known. Rashi says, Harvad shtuki. The kashrahu, the pshidalan, the ben kohen habala pnuyuhu. So we'll say, the child is a shtuki. Okay, so now remember, a shtuki, normally not no paternity, paternity is unknown. So the Gemara says, one second, my shtuki, what does that mean, that he's a shtuki? Ilema shemeshaskin oso minichse aviv, if you want to say that we quiet him down from being able to collect any of the property of his father, that's pshita, that's obvious. We'll say, right? Miyadinan avu amanu. So we'll say, obviously he's a shtuki in that he's quieted from collecting any kind of inheritance. Why is he quieted from collecting any kind of inheritance? Because we don't know who his father is. That's obvious. Ella shemeshaskin also medin kuna. Rather, no. What does it mean that he's a shtuki? It means Rabbi say that we silence him from having a role in the kuna. In other words, he's not a kohen. He's not a kohen. So I'll say, how could that be? Remember, this was a group of 10 kohanim. This is a group of 10 kohanim. Now, I grant that we don't know who the father is, but one thing is for sure, which is he's a kohen. But how can you just say that the kid is not? This is very interesting. My time, Amikra, v'haisa lo ulizaro acharav. So, because the pasuk says, v'haisa lo be for Aaron, ulizaro acharav, and his descendants after him, bris kohunas olam, an eternal covenant of the kohuna. Listen to this. So, the Gemara dashens over here, ba'inon zaro miyuchas acharav. Rabbi says, in order to go ahead and be a kohen, it's not just enough to have a father as a kohen, but what? You have to know who your father is. It has to be Zaro Acharov, his seed following him, which the Gemara understands over here, that you know from whom you come. You know ultimately, again, who your father is. So in this case over here, as much as we know that Lemaisa, again, the father is a Kohen, because we don't know what? Who the Kohen is. And I will say, remember, what's interesting about this is apparently a unique thing by the Kahuna. Because again, it doesn't apply, let's say, as long as you know your father is Jewish, whether you know who he is or not doesn't impact your Judaism, of course. But again, that's different, of course, because of the fact that Lamaisa, that's determined on the mother. But since Kahuna is ultimately dependent on the father, therefore there's a special Gzeres HaKosev, it has to be by Salo Ulazaro Acharov. The phrase has a Zaro Acharov. It has to be his seed following him. Paternity must be clear. So the Gemara says, V'laka.
And in the Mishnah before, when it said if both fathers were Kohanim, you can observe.
That's going to be the kasha in the Gemara. Now that's exactly why the Gemara is quoting this. Because remember, otherwise this has nothing to do with our sugya. Parsha Kivant, we're going to see. So the Gemara says, V'leka, and therefore in this case over here, of the 10 Kohanim who are standing in the group, and one of them was Poresh, one of them separated and impregnated a woman, so as much as the father is a Kohen, Lemais, at the end of the day, we don't know which one he is, and therefore the child is a Shtuki, i.e. the child is not a Kohen. So the Gemara says, Maskev l'Rav Papa, so Rav Papa said, my Papa is a Kasha, Elami Ata, Gabe Avram, Dichsev, Lios Lecha, Le'elokim, Ulozaracha, Acharecha. So when the Pasuk says to Avram Avinu, that I will be for you a God, ulezaracha acharecha, for your seed after you, what does that come to teach us? Hasam mai kamizar li rachmana. What is this word coming to teach us? Because it will say it's the same lotion of zaracha acharecha. Hachi kamen, this is what it means to say, lo tinasev avodas kochavim, v'shivcha, don't marry a non-Jewish woman, don't marry a shivcha, why? Basra, because your seed will end up going after her. In other words, Rabosai, that in order to ensure, he's saying Avram Avinu, he's running Avram Avinu against ultimate down the road intermarriage. That don't intermarry, because you always want Zaracha Acharecha. You always want your seed to follow you. Okay, Mesve. So Mar says, one second, we raise a kasha over here. Right, Rishon Roi Lios Kohen Gadol. So I will say, we're going to see the Gemara over here quotes of Raisa. The Gemara says over here that the Rishon, the first one, is permitted to go ahead and be the Kohen Gadol. So I'll say, this is the case. We'll see this later on. Rashi points out, Hecha Shem Yabim Eishas Achiv B'soch Gimel. So I'll say, this is a situation where, let's say again, pretty much same case as the Mishnah, where a woman marries within 3 months after her husband dies, and she has a child with husband number two. So in this case over here, it's where Yibum was done, right? Where ultimately, again, the brother did Yibum. Now, even Yibum, you normally have to wait 3 months. So in this case over here, the brother did Yibum. The brother did Yibum within 2 months. So we'll say now, in this case, let's say, obviously, both brothers are Kohanim. So what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says that Lemaisa, the child who was born, even though we're not sure about the paternity of the child, is permitted to be the Kohen Gadol. How could that be? The Gemara says, V'ha ba'ina zaro miyuchas acharav v'leka. So the Gemara says, but how could you say that the kid's going to be a Kohen Gadol? After all, what did we just say? That the only way to be a Kohen is what? So you need two things. Number one, your father has to be a Kohen. And number two, you have to know who your father is. In this case over here, where Lemaisa, the kid is born, after, or I should say, the woman remarried 2 months after her first husband died, and the child is born, again, 7 months after her second marriage, we do not know if the child is the son of the first or the second. So how can you say it could be the Kohen Gadol? To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you, Zar'o miyuchas achrov, Dirabonon. This idea that we have to know who the father is a Dirabonon. Ukra asmachta ba'alma, and the pasuk is only an asmachta. The Rebbe says asmachta means that sometimes the rabbis like to find scriptural allusions to rabbinic law, but it does not make it a doraisa. It just makes it a scriptural allusion to a rabbinic law. The chigaz, so Rebbe says, now what we're saying over here is, no, it's not true. Really, as long as you know your father was a kohen, even if what? You don't know exactly who your father is, you are still a kohen. Midrabanan, however, we say that you're only a Kohen when what? When Lemaisa, again, you know exactly who your father is. But Chigazurabanan, but when did the rabbis decree? Biznus. Only in a case of Znus. We'll say like that case, where you have the 10 Kohanim standing around, one of them separates out, impregnates a woman. That was a case of Znus, not a case of marriage. So in that case, Chazal will say, the kid is not a Kohen. It's not a Kohen. However, again, Benisuin lo gazer abanan. But in the case of marriage, the rabbis were not gozer. And in the case of marriage, the rabbis said that as long as the woman was married, and we know for sure husband and born husband number two are both Kohanim, the child will absolutely unequivocally be a Kohen. Ubiznus mi gazer abanan. Is that true? That when it comes to a case of znus, the rabbis were gozer. That if the identity of the father is not absolutely known, even though we know both fathers were both potential fathers were kohanim, that the kid is not a kohen, is that true? Vatana, we learned mishlosha sa'achar bayla shlosha chadoshim. We'll say zar mishlo. So if a woman did not wait for 3 months after her husband before remarrying the nieces, and then she remarried within the 3 months, the yalda, and she gave birth. So the Gemara says, one second, my achar bayla. What does it mean that she didn't wait after her husband? If you want to say that it meant that she did not wait after the death of her first husband, that can't be. You know why? Amos say, if you look at the end of the Mishnah, who onin alehem, the heim onin and alav. We'll say in the last case of the Mishnah, where both husbands were Kohanim, so the Mishnah said that middle son is an onin for both men when either of them die, and they are onin him for him. So Bishlama who onin alehem, so the case that he's an onin for them, that case could come up how? Mashkachas la binisuin desheni, she married husband number two, and then again Lemais, husband number two died sometime later on, so son, middle son would be an onin for him. Velikot atzamos dekama, and I would say, how could he ever be an onin for husband number one? Oh, husband number one died already, but what? But we'll say this, likot atzamos. Likot atzamos means that if you go ahead and you rebury the remains of someone, you have to sit shiva for them that day that you go ahead and you rebury them. It's likot atzamos. Eleheim onin in my love, hachim eshkachas lo. So we'll say, but how could there ever be a case where both of the potential fathers would be an onin for the middle son? After all, kama ha misle. And we'll say, the case where husband number one is dead, the ela bigrusha. Rather, it must be where what? Husband number one didn't die, but rather, she was divorced from husband number one. Umay achar baila. And what does it mean after a husband? Achar get baila. It means after her husband gave a get. So the Gemara says, one second. And therefore, again, she's remarrying within 2 months after her get. Eima Seifa, but one second, look at the end of the Mishnah. Who ain't mitamin lohem? The hain ain't mitamin lo. He can't become tummy for the two fathers. It's a case where they're both kohanim, but he can't become tummy for them, and they can't become tummy for him. Bishlama hain ain't mitamin lo. So I understand why they can't become tummy for him. After all, the chumrah dechol chad v'chad dimalav brehu. Because we'll say they can't become tummy for him because why? They're both kohanim, and therefore again they can't become tummy for him because out of suffek maybe he's not their son. Elahu ain't metame lohem, but he can't become tummy for them. Amai, why is that? Bishlam l'sheni lo l'tamile. I understand why he can't become tummy for the second one. Elarishon l'tamile, but he should become tummy for the first one. You know why? Manav shach, for one of two reasons. Ibrehu, if he is the son of the first one, then lemaisa what? Then lemaisa should be able to come tummy for him. So hasha become tummy lo. V'ibar basrahu, and if he is the son of the second one, Shapir come tummy. He can still become tummy for the first. You know why? So the Gemara says dechalalhu, because ultimately again he will be a chalal by the second marriage. Because we both say ultimately again, if his first father was a kohen, and then his mother gets divorced in the first kohen, and then she marries the second kohen, that is an illegal marriage, and the offspring of that marriage is a chalal. See, he's a safek chalal. So if he's a safek chalal, I understand again why he can't become tummy for the second one, but he should definitely become tummy for the first one, because manoshach, either the first one is his father, and if the first one is not his father, that means this kid is a chalal. If the kid is a chalal, he can become tummy. Elalav biznos. Rather, I'm sorry, I have to stop off here. But rather, again, it must be a case of where what? It's talking about znos. Umay achar ba'alo. And what does it mean? What does it mean that she didn't wait after her husband? Achar bo'alo. It doesn't mean she didn't wait after her husband, but rather, she did not wait after having relations with another man 3 months before marrying. Vikat. All right, so we'll say, we're going to pick up in Mirat Hashem tomorrow with Elalav Biznos. So what we've established over here is we're trying to frame the case of the Mishnah. So what we've established is the case of the Mishnah can't be a case of where husband number one died. Okay, it can't be a case of where husband number one divorced. Rather, it must be a case where what? There wasn't husband number one. Rather, what was there? There was znus with number one and marriage with number two. So, Mirat Hashem, we'll pick up with that reality tomorrow, and we'll frame the Mishnah appropriately.